The 25th of May sees a mass lobby taking place at Parliament. Guide dog owners will be there to let MPs know the difficulties that they have when it comes to doing a simple thing like taking a taxi or a minicab. There's been lots covered, of course, here on RNIB Connect Radio about guide dog owners being refused access to all sorts of places, shops, restaurants, but taxis seems to be one that's causing the most problems at the moment. Is it the training for the drivers? Is it the penalties that are handed down that just don't fit the issue? Well, we have with us Jennifer Keane from Guide Dogs to tell us more. Jennifer, this lobby is taking place on the 25th. What will be happening there?
So we've got over 100 guide dog owners coming into Parliament to speak to their MPs about this issue. A lot of these people will have personal experience of being turned away from shops, restaurants, and importantly from taxis. So they'll be coming to talk to their MPs about their experiences and asking MPs to take action to stop guide dog owners being turned away.
There are laws in place which should stop this from happening, Jennifer, but I have noticed that there is some concern about the punishments that are handed down, that they're not a deterrent.
Yes, that's right. So the Equality Act is clear. Taxi drivers aren't allowed to refuse to take assistance dogs. But we find that it's still happening all the time. And one of the reasons why we think that it's happening is because the fines that are getting issued to taxi drivers are really low. We did a Freedom of Information request and we found out that the average fine level was less than £200, which obviously just isn't enough of a deterrent for taxi drivers. So what we're asking for is for the fine level to be raised to be in line with similar offences like taxi touting, which is where private hire vehicles pick up individuals from the streets.
What should the level be? Is there guidelines for the courts when it comes to a case like this already?
So the official guidance is that it is a level 3 fine, so that's anywhere up to £1,000. Yeah, we just think that that's far too low. So level 3 is the same level as if you don't pay your TV licence or if you travel on a train without a ticket. So we think that that's just not a reflection of the severity of this crime and the impact that it has on guide dog owners' lives.
Interesting you say the word impact there, because, you know, it's not just someone being told, no, I'm not taking you, and driving away. You know, guide dogs are essential for independent mobility, for people's confidence as well. So, you know, it's not just that the refusal for travelling in the car, it goes beyond that.
Absolutely. I mean, people really rely on taxis for their independence because a lot of people obviously can't drive or aren't able to take public transport. So they need to be able to take taxis to get to work or for social occasions. And a lot of people report to us that they find it's just a constant battle that they're having to argue with people again and again to be able to find someone who's willing to take them. And that's just not good enough.
So are you looking for not just for the penalties to be looked at again, but perhaps even the guidelines that are laid down for the taxi companies and the drivers themselves to be strengthened or made more relevant?
Yes, so we're asking for the two things, for the fine level to be increased, but we're also asking for a new law that will make it a requirement that all taxi and minicab drivers will have to take disability equality training. Now, we're working with a whole coalition of organisations. There's 29 organisations in total who are calling for this, and that includes people like the Licensed Drivers Association and the Licensed Taxi Drivers Association. So even industry bodies are supporting us in this call. It's really important that taxi drivers understand what their obligations are in the law so that they know if a disabled person needs to take a taxi, they know how to assist them.
And we do have with us Monica Price, who is a guide dog owner and has experienced some of that guide dog refusal herself. Monica, tell us a bit about your experience.
Well, I was with a friend and the guide dog, my guide dog in Liverpool, and we were on our way to an event. And most popular place to get taxis, we'd waited there for 90 minutes and not one would stop for us. And we could only assume it was because of the guide dog at the time. Anyway, my friend decided she'd prove that one way or the other. She went across the road and pretended she wasn't with us. And she stopped a cab immediately. And when she called us over, the driver was so abusive and told her that she'd tricked him. He was more abusive to her, in fact, than to me. He nearly trapped a hand in the door, and he didn't want to take us. And it happened that we've got a little card now that says they have to. In the end, he did take us, but he was horrible all the way, particularly horrible to the friend, whom he almost subbed out at one point because we were dropping her off on the way there.
That's appalling because, you know, some of these taxis had just driven past with their lights on saying that they were free for hire. Do you think, you know, surely now taxi drivers in the UK know the law about they must accept guide dogs?
I don't know why they have decided against the dogs, because the dogs are no trouble whatsoever. They just sit down and, you know, never cause anything. And a lot of the taxis have disabled, it says on, you know, disabled access.
Monica, when you come across that kind of attitude, how does it make you feel?
Well, you feel lost. You feel a non-person, really. One knows if you don't have the dog, there would be no problem. But because you're disabled, and you do feel, where do I go from here? Because it makes you feel very vulnerable.
Does it make you think twice about going out?
It makes me feel twice about going into the city. How am I going to get back if I do go? All right, there's public transport, but sometimes where you are is not anywhere near it. You might have to get attracted to that, you know.
Jennifer, just finally, perhaps there's some advice you could give out just now to guide dog owners who have faced this kind of refusal, or indeed for anyone who wants to find out a bit more about the campaign itself.
Yeah, so for anybody who faces this kind of refusal, the most important thing is to get in touch with your local mobility team. It's really important that all of these refusals are reported so that the scale of the problem is really understood by policymakers. So we can give you advice if you get in touch with your local teams. If you just want to find out more about the campaign, the best thing to do will be to email campaigns@guidedogs.org.uk, and we can direct you about how best to campaign to change the law.
Jennifer, good luck with the campaign. It's certainly something we will continue to follow and report on here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great, thanks very much.